Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like. Tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you.
Business in here, and it just could be me. So if it's just me, we'll write it off, because it won't be the first time I've made a mistake, and I guarantee you it won't be the last. But I just sense there's someone in here. Maybe you're a single mom, maybe you're a single dad, but the thought of your kids not having that other is weighing on you. Maybe you're a single mom this morning, and whatever reason, dad's not there anymore for the kids, and that's just weighing on you. When they were playing this song, I got that impression, and then I got to thinking about my own life, how I was raised with just a mom, no dad at home, yet I thank God that he is a that while I missed out on a human person being physically there, my Bible says that when Satan comes and takes something from you, God restores it seven times.
Hallelujah.
And I can look to where God put seven different men, Pastor John, in my life at different times that taught me life lessons, that taught me things that I would have never learned, couldn't have learned by one person alone. So if that's you this morning, if you're worried about the kids because dad's not there, because mom's not there, yes, it is a sin not to have two parents. Because what is a sin? It's something that falls short of God's best. And it might, but you know, my Bible says where sin abounds, that much more grace abounds. So I'm telling you right now, if that's you, if that's a heavy thing, if that's keeping you up at night, this is your song. Because he's a good, good father. He's a good, good father. That's who he is. He can't help himself. That's his nature. You don't have to worry about those kids. Because while you are falling short of what you could do by yourself, there is a God in heaven that knows, sees, and has the capacity to fulfill every need. Every need. Every emotional need. Every physical need. I know what it's like, boys and girls, to be at a ball game and all the dads in the stands with a dad watching and cheering on, and your mom's not there because she's got to work. But for some reason, I always felt the favor of God on my life. I had a heavenly father in heaven cheering me on. Score that touchdown. Hit that ball. Make that basket. You don't have to worry about a mom and dad. The Father in heaven, he is a good, good father. Give it to him. Leave it to him. As the cliche says, let go and let God. He's a good, good father. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you guys so much. Amen. Give him a hand. Best praise band in the Carolinas. Harley Chopper and the Angels. That's right. Charlie's Angels. That's what you ought to name them. Charlie's Angels.
Okay, we're praise team
Charlie's Angels. For y'all under 40, ask your parents what that means. Hallelujah.
That's back just a few years.
Amen. It's good to be here, guys. Thank y'all. And I asked Pastor John, I said, did you just tell Faye that I was speaking? Because as soon as you said that, that's your... Nah, she had to be somewhere. I was just messing with her. She had to make a birthday party. Where is the remote? I saw the case. If I get going too long, we can turn the game on later. My wife is set out to either get me in shape or kill me. We just got back from doing a 17-mile bike ride. Everybody say 17 miles.
17 miles.
On a bike. I'm holding this right now. And the whole time, now, let me tell the whole story because I'll get this. That was 15 miles downhill. So I'm whining, but we were coasting downhill. So let me give the whole story. But it was beautiful. But the whole time I'm riding and enjoying God's nature, I'm sitting there and I'm praying. I said, Lord, you either need to make this seat softer or make parts of me firmer. But something has got to give. Lord, Lord, Lord. And remind me, the children of Israel, you know, they got out of bondage. They're slaves. They get out of bondage, and they turn a three-day trip into a 40-year journey. The whole time they're praying, God, change that mountain. Change that mountain. Change that mountain. And God's saying, no, the mountain's there to change you.
Amen.
See, because you can take the slave out of bondage, but it's hard to get the bondage out of the slave. It's a process, isn't it? You don't believe me? Go back and study behind me. I'm not saying everybody's this way. Okay, hear me. Did I say everybody? No, I didn't. But go back and study some of these folks that win the lottery. What happens? They end up worse off after winning the money than before they won the money. Why? Because that's true. But here's the deal. And it's a financial reality. Money does not make you and I wealthy. It's the way we think. Poverty is between the ears. You give a poor man money and he don't think any better of himself and what he should do and understand and get counseling, he's still going to act like a poor man. You can take the slave out of bondage like that, but it takes a while to get the bondage out of the slave. And that process is called being in the press. See, because Paul says, I press toward. I don't lay back and wait for it to happen. I just don't sit around and wait for my train to come. Let me tell you something. I believe from personal experience that the greatest struggle you and I as believers have from time to time is a cancer on our soul called apathy. And the reason why you and I get apathetic is because, quite frankly, we get tired, we get beat down, we get discouraged, things don't work out the way they're supposed to or should or whatever. And so it is outside of having our spirit minds direct us, we fall back and get into our earthly minds and we get what? Discouraged, discontent, aggravated, frustrated. And that leads to apathy. And the problem with apathy is I can show you in Scripture where it is literally the one thing that it shows in the Bible in Revelations that makes God sick. It turns his stomach. He says, I would rather you be what? But if you're, I'll do what? See, that was written by John in a time to an audience that understood in the region of the country that they lived that there were hot springs up in the mountains. There were cool springs up in the mountains. There were hot springs down here. The hot springs were made of mineral. You couldn't drink them, but you could. People like me with psoriasis, people that had skin problems, they could get it, and it would have a healing element to it. I live in a place called Bowling Springs, South Carolina. There's a little bowl. It's got minerals and things. It has a healing nature. And then you could go up into the mountainous regions and drink the fresh water, the cool water, and it would be refreshing. It would bring something to you. But when you would mix the two, it neither healed nor it could be drank. And see, what happens when you and I start doing things and trying to accomplish things and try to go somewhere and try to be something and do this and do that, outside of the Spirit of God, in our own flesh, not doing it by his calling on our lives, but doing it by our whims, our desires, and what we want, we start mixing cold and hot. We get in a situation where we're no longer cool and refreshing nor healing, and we get apathetic. We get, well, I tried that religious thing, and it just didn't work out. I tried the Jesus thing, and it just didn't work. I'm going to go over here. Listen, if all the Bible is and all of Scripture is to you is just a means to an end for your own self, guess what? You are going to get discouraged. You will get frustrated. You will get aggravated because he's got this one key element about himself that's sort of frustrating. It's called sovereignty. He don't like to be handled, does he? But I'm telling you, he does like to be used by people that love him and he loves. He wants to be in partnership with you. He wants to go before you and fight your battles. He wants to see you accomplish that which he put inside of you. He really does. He really does. Are you in the press? Philippians says this, not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what Justin's head is blocked at. Lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I was messing with you, Justin. I've always read that scripture to thinking that the goal was being the perfect, right? He says, not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect. Boy, did I miss it. He's not talking about being perfect or mature, or he's talking about, Paul's writing this at a time in his life where he's done a lot of things in his ministry, right? But he's saying, I'm not through yet. I am not through yet. Listen, it's a lie of Satan who says, I'm too old. I've already done my part. I'm already, it's time for me to quit. It's time for me to retire. It's time for me to kick it out of here. You know, retirement's not even in the Bible. That's not a biblical concept at all. You know, when it's time to retire, he's got a retirement package. And he sort of brings you, and we celebrate it, and we bring you down and say, yep, she retired. Until that happens, you're not retired. Right? If he still got you here, there's a reason for it. So when he says, I have not obtained this thing called, the goal is not perfection and maturity, even though we want that. The goal is this prize. And what is this prize? The upward call of Christ. The upward call is in Christ Jesus. There is a call on your life. Did you know that? Everyone in here, you have a call on your life. You're not a wandering generality, but you're a meaningful specific. You're here for a reason. That God equipped you uniquely from anyone else around you. Yet we talk ourselves out of so many times doing the thing that God's called us to do. Why? Well, I can't do an altar call like Tom Elkins. So I must not be called to preach. And I can't preach, and I'm not as exciting to listen to as Pastor John. So I must not be called to speak. And I can't teach like Pastor Terry Howe. And so we talk ourselves out of doing what God's called us to do because why? We compare ourselves to everyone else. And what does the Bible say about comparing yourself?
It's not wise.
It ain't. Yeah. That's proper English for it. That ain't good. Don't do it. It's not wise. You know why? Because see, there's people that John can reach and speak to that I'll never be able to. My cadence, my counsel, my dialect, the way I carry myself does not reach them. They don't connect with me. But likewise, there's people I can reach that John can't. And if both of us just said, we're just going to sit home because someone else is already doing it, guess what? What God gave me is no longer being used. And someone, including myself, is missing out. I'm telling you, if you're sitting here this morning saying, there's already something, don't do that. There is greatness on the inside of you, and God is just wanting you, just daring you to believe it. You know, a small drip of water continuously dripping can affect more than a huge gush of water over time. And a huge gush of water at once. There is something about persistency. There is something. I read a quote. Let me tell you. Have anyone in here seen the movie The Founder? If you haven't, it's a brand new movie. It came out maybe last year. And the guy played Batman in the 90s. I can't think of his name. Thank you. Michael Keaton plays the founder, which is Ray Kroc, the founder of McDonald's, or one of the founders. Well, you go in and it tells that story. But he has this quote in there that is actually a Calvin Coolidge quote that I just have fallen in love with your permission, I'd like to read it. It says this, it's great. It says, nothing in the world can take the place of persistence. Talent will not. Nothing is more common than unsuccessful men with talent. Genius will not. Unrewarded genius is almost a proverb. Education will not. The world is full of educated derelicts. Persistence and determination alone is what brings change. Think about that just for a second. You know what's a shame? Is to see people so talented, yet you want to see something that's just, it grieves me. Go to New Orleans sometime. Go to Austin. Go to Nashville. Go to Chicago. Go to New York. Go to Los Angeles. Go to these big areas where there's a music scene. You are going to see some of the greatest musicians that you've ever seen, but you've never heard of them. See, if talent was all it took, you'd have heard of them. They'd be on the radio right now. They'd be winning awards, but you haven't. See, if talent was all it took, then there's a lot of people in New Orleans I've seen. There's a lot of people I've heard in Nashville that you should have heard about by now. Yet we listen to people that can't find middle C on a keyboard win awards. So what's the difference? If it was education, if it was talent, if it was all of these things that we put so much value in, then what? I'm telling you, when you persistently get in front of the right people and persistently pursue what you have got a passion and a dream about, the windows of heaven open. So many times, see, there's three things that God will tell you when you ask for something. Yes, no, or wait. Yes, no, or wait. And a lot of times, he has told you to wait because he's trying to work some things out. And you've taken it for a no. And you've given up. You've quit. You've decided, well, I tried. The point is, you're in the press. What does that mean? You are in the press. Let's get into it. Well, there's, of course, the popular press. And that's the reports of others. Do you believe what other people are saying that's possible? Or do you believe what God's saying? Whose report do you believe? There is, of course, the printing press. That's what people say. What do you say? What do other people say? Are we putting our opinions and what we think is possible based on the words that we say and others? And, of course, there's the the steam press. It's the pressures of life. Got you pushed and pressed down and steaming over you. And he's like, well, you know, my best days, I guess, are behind me because this is my status quo. This is my lot in life now. Because if you're there, no, you're pressing towards something. You're just being pressed. Or maybe, I love this one, and I am going to shock Russell Sellers this morning. Get ready. Watch his face. When I was in high school, I played basketball, JV basketball, and our coach took us to Durham, North Carolina to listen to this guy named Coach Krzyzewski talk about basketball. Now, I'm a Tar Heel, and for those who are not native North Carolinians, we take our college basketball serious. Okay, let's not get distracted. I don't want this to get hijacked. So for me, a Tar Heel, I was in enemy territory. But Coach K said something absolutely mind-boggling during that presentation. Because one of the students asked, why does your player slap the floor when they're on defense? He says, because in basketball, you have your goal and your opponent's goal. And when we're on defense, we're slapping, saying, no, we on this side of the court too. And some of you might feel like you're on defense right now. The enemy's coming in and attacking you. And God's saying, slap the floor. You on this side too. Amen. This is your side of the court as well. And I will contend, it's my humble opinion, that he puts a winning team together every year because they know how to play defense. Okay? And they really do. Now let's get off of that. That was painful. Now you know it was the Spirit of God because flesh didn't give that. That's right. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you're worn out. Maybe you are drained. Maybe the very life is being squeezed out of you like a wine press right now. Is that you this morning? I'm telling you, don't quit. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. You're just in the press. So are you in the press? Absolutely. Look at this right quick. He says, not that I've already obtained this or I am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus made me. Word perfect there means that my job here is not completed yet. The word press there means a hostile pursuit. A hostile pursuit. Listen, if there's anything you guys want, it ain't going to come just because you say, can I have it? You got to go after it. Anything worth having, you're going to have to fight for. Do you know why I have a wonderful wife? I fought for her and continue to fight for her. Someone asked, how does someone look like you marry someone that look like her? Amen. Thank you. Amen. Boy, was that a setup or what? Well, I'll tell you, I fought for her. Because I wasn't the only cat in school that was eyeballing that little girl. But one of us wanted her to be the sweetheart a little more than the rest. I fought for her like I'm going to fight for that egg roll after church today. There's a lot of y'all going to want fried rice and egg roll, but one of us is going to block out. One of us is going to get in line first. If you want anything, you got to fight for it. If it's worth having, then fight for it. Don't be so passive. What is that? What's that scripture says that the righteous availeth much, but the righteous take it? What was that say? Kingdom of violence, kingdom of God. That don't seem passive to me. I mean, it don't. It seems pretty active. It's pretty much, I'm going to get in your grill. This is my house. This is my side of the court. You can't have my kids. You can't have my wife. You can't have my family. You can't have my job. You can't have my church. It's mine. You got to get that attitude. Listen, parenting is an offensive sport. You got to be on offense. And it is offensive, too. I said that the right way the first time. Boy, I tell you, Spirit of God even make a... He still talks through donkeys.
Yes, he does.
You and Billy can go outside. We're family. If you're visiting this morning, I promise you, we're always this way. Now, Pastor Terry will be back next week, and it gets a little more proper. But I want to bring something out, and it says, but I forget those things that lie behind. You know, that's easily said and hard to do. Can I share something with y'all? You can sit over there, too. I think the spirit of sarcasm on me just compels. No, I'll be serious for a minute. There's a guy in the community, some of you will know, and I'm not going to mention his name. He don't go to church here. But every time, and for the last 20 years, I was a worship leader and associate pastor over at another church in Rutherford for a while. And so at that time, we were working with a lot of churches, doing different things, community events. And this guy's a great guy. Wonderful guy. Everybody say wonderful.
Wonderful.
Every time I was around him, John, every time I saw him, I was polite. There was no reason not to be. But I would have a visceral reaction inside of me. I would have something like, I would have a reaction like I'm almost getting sick. And this is a nice guy. Say nice guy.
Nice guy.
Minister in the community. Everybody say minister in the community. No reason to feel that way. But that's how I would react. And so, thank you. I called a barber for some reason. I've only got a few friends in here, so I'm trying to talk
just
to the friend. Yeah. So, Martha. Last time I saw him was a month ago. And very polite, congenial. We'd talk. I mean, I'd never mention names because this guy's a great guy. This was me. This was a Terry problem. And so I always wrote it off to, well, maybe God's given me a word of knowledge. Maybe I'm seeing something that everybody else isn't. Maybe, I'm flowing in the Spirit. And everybody else is just fooled, but I'm not going to say that because I can't prove anything. I'm not going to go around accusing. I mean, that's everybody say nice guy.
Nice guy.
Good guy. So the last time I saw him, I just got in a car and going back to Bubbling Waters, South Carolina. And I'm praying, Lord, why? Because I even forgot I had this reaction because I hadn't seen him in 3-4 years. So why every time I'm around him, I feel this way? Is it me? And this is the most dangerous prayer in the Bible. Don't ever pray this unless you're serious because for whatever reason, God will act on it. But David says, search me, O God. Find if there's any. Don't do that unless you're serious. Don't do that unless you want God to do what you ask him to do, because he will. So I'm like, search me, O Lord. Instantly. Everybody say instantly. Instantly, I was taken back to when I was 7 years old with my uncle at a barber shop, and a gentleman made a very inappropriate gesture toward me. Hadn't even thought about it. I'm 42. Hadn't thought about it in 30-some-odd years. Everybody say 30-some-odd years. This is not something that kept me. But instantly I went back and I remembered that time and I remembered that inappropriate. And that gentleman looks, it's not him, but looks just like him. And Satan was using that in my subconscious to put a barrier between me and another man of God. So when Paul says, forgetting those things, when Paul says, forgetting those things that lie behind, I press, don't just think that's just another word in scripture that you can say, forget about it. He's not from New York. He's not saying, forget about it. He's saying, deal with it. And see, you can't deal with things that you don't know that are not there. I didn't know it was there. I mean, it's not something that kept me up at night. It was just something that happened that I never thought about. I mean, I was 7 years old. And it was just like that in an instant moment, and then hadn't thought about it since. But this guy was triggering something that was on the inside of me that I didn't even realize, that was causing me to have a barrier that I could not press toward another level. So I'm telling you, every level has a new devil. And sometimes you don't recognize who's hanging out. Don't be afraid of it. God's there. And instantly, and I said, Lord, forgive me. And you know what? Since I've seen him, that feeling, that visceral is gone. You know, and now I can actually have a conversation with this guy. Why? Because that's cleaned up that I didn't even realize I was there. I'm telling you guys, this thing of forgetting those things, what it literally means in scripture is to no longer have care for. Doesn't mean that you intellectually, listen, there are things that have happened to all of us. There are things that have happened in my past that I remember, but I no longer care for. See the difference? And there's things in my life that apparently I don't remember, but care for, right? So we have to let go and press on. Because if we don't, we're always going to be marking time in the same spot. Reports of others. Whose report do you believe? Isaiah says this. Surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. The word bore there literally means that he will carry your griefs. Listen, as soon as I knew I had this grief on the inside of me, I was able to give it to him. And that grief is like gone. He will carry your grief. You do not have to care. See, the world says you're in it by yourself. There's nobody around that likes you. I had an uncle tell me, he says, I'm not going to use the language he used because, well, it wouldn't be appropriate. Michelle's laughing because she knows. She knows our family. But he said, Terry, if the only advice I can give you is assume everyone in the world is until they prove different. Let's say jerk. We'll put the word jerk in. That's a jaded way of living, isn't it? That's a jaded way. Why is it? Because he's hurt. People have done him wrong. And what he's done to cope with it is what? Wall up. Start everybody in the basement and make them work their way up to at least ground floor. And the Bible is telling all his love covers a multitude of sin. That you can love, and listen, not everyone's going to love you back. Not everyone's going to treat you right. Not everyone's going to do you right. But guess what? If you're a child of God, that's their problem, not yours. They'll have to answer that, not you. See, because when you can love with the love of God, then all of a sudden, if it's not returned, if it's not what it should be, it doesn't matter. Because God's going to love you back. He'll get it back to you. So he'll carry your griefs. He'll carry your sorrow. Listen, if you're thinking, I can't do anymore because, Terry, you don't know what I've done. You don't know my past. You don't know my history. The Bible says that he covers that. That is no longer an issue. That's a mute point Pastor Terry was talking about last week. This is this. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was pierced. When you and I don't accept that, we basically say, sorry, God, not enough. Accept it. Embrace it. And thank him for it. Because you can, listen, you don't have to go around that mountain for 40 years. You do not have to go around that mountain for 40 years. It's only a 3-day journey. It is only a three. What you want, what has been given to you, the desires that God has put inside of you is right there. Are you willing to press? Are you willing to press and be pressed? Then accept it. You're no longer who you used to be. He was crushed for our iniquities. Anytime you see the word iniquities in Scripture, it's talking about generational sins and curses and things. Listen, you might be like me and born on the wrong side of the tracks. I tell people we're so poor, trains didn't even come through where we lived. It don't matter. It don't matter where I'm from, it's where I'm going. See, I forget those things. I intellectually remember, but I no longer care for. See how that word, if you use it the right way, it's got power. I no longer care. Yeah. I crawled out of that. But look what God has done. Look what God is doing. He has put us in it to win it. Ooh, and peace. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. Whose report do you believe? You're being pressed. You're being pressed every day. Whose report do you believe? Words used. Words used will have a huge impact on us every day. I was watching on TV the other night, Pastor. John Kilpatrick. Y'all remember John Kilpatrick? Man, in the 90s, I grew up on the music that was coming out of Brownsville and Lindell Cooley and all that bunch. Man, I could just all day long and twice on Sunday. You know, I mean, that just resonated with me. And he said something profound, Russell, because I know you took the youth down there and was involved there. He says that after we're coming up on 20 years of that revival, he says he believes that the reason why God decided to abode there, to just hang out, to let the Spirit of God just rest there for a while, was they learned how to use words to bless one another. He says about 3 months prior to that revival breaking out, that he would just spontaneously call someone up in the congregation and just start blessing them, just giving them a father blessing and encouraging everyone else to start using your words to intentionally bless everyone you come in contact with. See, you and I are conditioned in this world to, honestly, we don't realize it, but we speak curses all the time to ourselves. And the Bible says in Ephesians right here, he says, to build up, he says, 4:29, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as it fits occasion that it may give grace to those who hear. And he said that it was amazing that so many people in his church had never had a parent, a father, or mother give them a fatherly blessing or motherly blessing. He said, so we were just real intentional. We just started blessing, And you're like, what do you mean? I say bless you all the time. It literally means God's seeing what you're doing. He's proud of you. He wants you to know that he's going to take you further than you can imagine, think, or dream. That you keep it up, that you don't give up. Because God is going to use your ministry to bring about change that you don't even realize yet. And he's put the things that's needed for that to happen inside of you. So just trust it. Amen? That's a blessing. See? That's a blessing. God knows where you are. He knows where you've been. And take heart. You're going to be astonished where he's taking you. He's going to bless you. Don't give up on him. Amen? This is not a blessing. Reagan, you're just like your mama. Would you quit wearing me out? Asking me. I just spoke a cursing on him and his mom. I don't mean to, but I did. Because what's wrong with his mom and what's wrong with him? Right? The attitude in that. And when we can get this inside of us, that every word we use that comes out of us is just blessing. John Kilpatrick says, it just tickles the Father. And he sent the Holy Spirit there in Brownsville for 5 years, starting on Father's Day. Because that's when they just said he wanted all the fathers to get up and start blessing the children and blessing their family. And then revival broke out. I'm telling you, the power of life and death is in what we say. It's in what we say. What do you believe about yourself? I've taken sales training my whole life. I cannot tell you the thousands of dollars I've spent, Tom, on courses and books on how to speak, how to try to have influence, how to build rapport, how to have authority with what you say. And they all revolve around this one premise that's a false premise that I've discovered. And when this light bulb came on about 10 years ago, it was like, good Lord, I didn't have to buy all that. It's in the Bible. Isn't that crazy? All of them want to massage the tongue away. All of them want to control the tongue. But what does James say about the tongue? You can't control this thing. It's unruly. You can't control your tongue. Yet I'm buying all these books. How can I control my tongue? I got to say this better. Would you like the black guitar or the white guitar, ma'am? Did I smile? Did I tilt my head? Did I have empathy? Did I build rapport? Did I have authority? I'm trying to control this tongue. And then something would happen, Tom. And then something would slip out. What's wrong with you, lady? You know, something would slip out, and I'd blow the deal. I was like Tommy Boy there. Here's my little sail, and it'd blow up. I'm not going to go there. And then it occurred to me that the Bible's true. He says, out of the abundance of what? So if I changed the way I believe, I'd change the way I'd speak. So I want to encourage you today. Don't be so concerned about what you're saying to yourself and to others, but be more concerned about what do you believe about yourself and others. And a tongue will follow. Hey, amen. That's free advice. See, I spent thousands of dollars just to prove it. The other stuff isn't real. Word gentleness, Proverbs says 15, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. No, no, let it. John Maxwell years ago said something that was profound to me, and it stuck with me. But, you know, we as spirit-filled believers have one power over the rest of the world that we rarely ever take. See, everybody in the world that you know of are nothing more than thermometers. They're just giving a read out of the room. Turn your news on. World's coming to an end. He said this. They did this. You know, they got their hair on fire. Why? Because they're just reading the temperature of the room. They're just reading the temperature of the room and reflecting it. It's 110 in here. We're all going to die. John Maxwell, in his leadership course, says, the spirit-filled believer, you're a thermostat. What's 100 do? Peace. be still. You remember Jesus on the boat and everything's rocking? Everything's rocking. We're going to die. We're going to die. What are we going to do? Fox News, CNN, MSNBC came down and got Jesus and said, no, what are we going to do? And Jesus got up and he didn't speak to the problem. He didn't say, storm, stop. You're picking on us. He didn't say, Father, I'm trying to get some rest. I'm doing your will, but they won't let me sleep. And now this. He didn't say, that's how Terry would have handled it. Well, he spoke to the solution. There's one thing to complain about the problem. There's another thing to speak to the solution. What's the solution? There's no peace here. So he says, peace, be still. It don't take nobody to see that there's a problem and put your hair on fire. But it takes the Spirit of God to say, what's the solution? We need peace. What do we need it to do? We need to be still. See, you have that power within you. You do not have to be controlled by the temperature of people you're around in your workplace and your school place and all this stuff. You can speak to the solution because you have that power within you, truth and love. I had an acquaintance of mine post something on social media about a month ago, and he says, what's the definition of a true friend? And I responded to him. He's a pastor in the community, and I responded, one who's not afraid to tell you what you need to hear, even if it wounds you, because the Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. Boy, I wished I hadn't said that, because I didn't know what was going on while he said that. Apparently, there had been a problem, and because of his problem, he's coming under church discipline, and now he's feeling betrayed because he's under church discipline when they should have been his friends. And Ryan sent me a private message saying, do you know what's going on here? I said, no, I was just responding. He said, da-da-da. I was like, oh, wow, I wish I hadn't even got into that because I'm having 142 likes here. Like, I just stepped into a conversation I didn't want to be in. But see, speaking truth in love is what we're called to do. Because even though I didn't know the context of the situation in which I was speaking in, what I said was truth and it was delivered with the intent of love. And that's what you're supposed to do. You know, we have the lips to praise him. He says he abides in the praises of his people. Listen, when you're in the press, the best thing you can do is, Lord, I praise you. I don't know how this is going to turn out. I don't know how you're going to fix this, but I know you will. And I praise you and I thank you and I give you honor and I give you glory. You've got that power. We can speak the mysteries of heaven. Did you know you had the power within you to speak the mysteries of heaven? Did you know you could speak outside of your own education? Yep. You know, I was raised Four Square Assembly of God, so, you know, Pentecostal backgrounds where I come from. And so we put a lot of emphasis on, you know, speaking in tongues with angels. And we never put emphasis on anything else as far as speaking. And that matter, at least the churches I was in, I'm not going to. Don't want to disparage the whole denomination. I mean, who knows what other people do. But at the NAMM show, talking to Suzuki, asking us how we're going to get all these pianos out of there, and I don't know. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God comes on. Well, we got a fulfillment plan that we're going to drop ship out of here and here and here. Listen, I didn't go to school to learn how to do that. I didn't even know what I was saying. But man, it impressed them, and they signed. And I walked away with that, and I was like, yeah, tongues is nice, but prophecy is better. I mean, I just start prophesying the situation. I'm telling you, you can speak the mysteries of heaven, folks. Amen. You can. Power, life, and death is in the tongue. And you don't have to control it. He will if you'll yield it to him. Ooh, pressure. We got to go. It's getting lunchtime. Real quick, pressure. Are you feeling pressure this morning? I want to give you 4 points. We're going to close here. Pressure. Listen, if you're feeling pressure, if life has got you sort of beat up, and it does from time to time, let me give you something real quick. We've all heard the passage of count it all joy, brothers, when you meet various trials and situations. But we don't understand something. You and I, we count problems and we put it as a liability. In the balance sheet of our life, when we're looking at the inventory of our soul, we will put blessings over here in the asset column, and we'll put problems and challenges and everything else over in the liability problem. And if you study that out, the word count there is actually an accounting word that means to reallocate it as an asset. Put it as an asset class rather than a liability. It doesn't pull you down, it builds you up. Why? Because anybody that's in the marketplace understands wealth is built by solving problems. Did you hear me? Wealth is built by solving problems. And when there's a lot of problems, there's a lot of opportunity. Hallelujah. Y'all don't get that. See, opportunity is what you need to make money, right?
Yes.
You get it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We're about to be humble. 1 Peter 5:6-7 says, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God so that the proper time, everybody say proper. He will exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him. Why? He cares for you. Here's the reason why you'll stop. Because if you'll see, he says at the proper time, he'll raise you up. At the proper time, he'll raise you up. But in the meantime, he says, cast your cares upon him. And after a while, you're like, why is this pile still here? And you get worn out. Because he didn't say, cast your cares upon him, and at that time, he will lift you up. Did he? He says, at the proper time. And if you and I have our focus on his timetable, on when is he going to do this, I did this now, so when are you going to do now? Then you've walked outside of what his promise says. He says, humble yourself. Don't put God on any timetable. Just cast your cares, trusting him. And I'll tell you, it always happens when he gets the last ounce of doubt out of you, then it's proper time. Amen. All right, pressure. If you're under pressure, move. Because he says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Sometimes a geographical realignment is what we need. Sometimes I'm under pressure because God's wanting me to move. So you got to be sensitive to that. And finally, look. He says, and those who know your name put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. He don't forsake those who what? Seek him. If I'm under pressure, if I'm feeling this visceral reaction 20 years later, then I'm saying, search me, oh God. Where are you at in this situation? He reminds me of something I didn't even think about. I'm able to deal with it. And now I have a relationship with a brother that I should have had 20 years ago. A closer. We were always friendly. Always friendly. But now I can trust. And I couldn't before, and I didn't know why. Let me tell you something, folks. We're closing. God did not call you and I to walk around in this defensive, oh me, don't hit me again posture. You're a child of the king. You're the head, not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You can walk on serpents. You in it to win it, as he says. You don't have to be defensive in life anymore. You don't have to feel like, oh, I just don't want to go there because I don't want to get hurt again. One of the things that happened in church a lot, and it's, I talk to a lot of pastors, I'm friends with a lot of people because the nature of my business, and the retention rate in modern day churches in today's world is horrible. Everybody say horrible.
Horrible.
One of the reasons why is because there is a, and God, it's by God and it's by design. There is a holy discontentment among a lot of people. And I want to tell you, the answer is not the church down the road, not the next pastor, not the next wave of whatever. The answer is letting the healer do his thing and heal. Because he wants to. He's here to. He promises to. But you and I, sometimes we walk in so much fear. Don't touch it. It hurts. I don't even want to go there. And I'm going to tell you, he's a good, good father. He is a good, he ain't here to hurt you. He says, and the peace will guard your heart. The peace of God. If with thanksgiving, with prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. And the what? The tranquillius. You know, our society today, the pharmaceutical industry is making millions of dollars off of selling people what God gives for free. It's a multi-billion dollar industry to give people a sense of peace. When God's saying, come to me. Just come to me. I want more for you than you even want for yourself. And if you will dare to believe and trust and obey, taste and see. Ooh, I'll tell you, he'll take you to places you just would not believe. Get in where you fit in. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, I thank you for your people. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for what you're doing in your people. Lord, I pray for divine inspiration to rest on your people in here this morning, God. I pray for divine ideas, new ideas and concepts. Lord, I pray for supernatural peace that passes their understanding. I pray for you to give them the desires of their heart right now, God, as they're seeking you, as they're wanting you, as they're wanting to experience more of you. Lord, you said you're faithful to give. If a good father is faithful to give his kids, you're even better. So, Lord, as they seek you, take them to new levels, God. New ideas, new concepts. Lord, I'm praying for millionaires to come out of this audience. I'm praying for people to have business ideas right now, God, that will not only change their life, but change the community. Lord, I'm praying for ministers right now. I'm praying for people and their ministry to absolutely explode right now, God. I want to see in this house these people taste and see everything, every good thing that you've promised as they seek after you. Lord, give them in their dreams. Speak to them in their dreams. Speak to them in ways that will reach them, whether it be a song, whether it be a message, whether it be a picture on the side of the road. Whatever it takes to get to them, God, we as a congregation give you permission. Speak to us. In your lovely name we pray. Bless you guys.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.